There is a reason why all end time predictions have been wrong. It's a consistent reason. It's a good reason. It's a simple reason. It's a reason now that seems so obvious to me that it's laughable. Today, ladies and gentlemen, I start on a series, a new series within the Revelation series, one of the last series within a series called The Final Years of Millennium 6. We are in Millennium 6. This is my substitute phrase for the end times. Forget it. You're never going to hear me say end times again. These aren't the end times. These are the final years of Millennium 6. And the key is knowing what millennium we are in and knowing God's timetable for the beginning of the seventh millennium, which obviously to me now, the seventh millennium from Adam is the millennium of God's stopping, that is, God's rest, according to the King James Version, the fulfillment of the type of the week. Gonna bring this all out to you, the week and the month, which are each measured by, respectively, the sun and the moon. The sun and the moon dictate times. They dictate times, especially to Israel. That is the key here, isn't it? What God gave to Israel. But even before that, there's an even bigger key, and that is what God gave to Adam to measure times and seasons. And God is very meticulous about his times and seasons. And there is a time and a season, and it's right. And it's real. Adventism. Millerism, what is that? I'm going to be listing for you predictions by members of mainstream churches that have all been wrong, and there's a common reason why every one of them has been wrong, and there's also a reason why one is right, and it has to be right, and it will be right. Adventism has its root in the teachings of a Baptist preacher by the name of William Miller. He first predicted the second advent of Jesus Christ. Predicted that it would occur before March 21st, 1844. When this date passed, a new date was predicted. This one was April 18th, 1844. Again, the date passed, and another Millerite named Samuel B. Snow derived the date of October 22nd, 1844. They're 11-1844 back then in 1844. The unfulfillment of these predictions has been named the Millerite Great Disappointment. The Great Disappointment of 1844. Why were these people disappointed? It's a damn good reason why, and I'm going to tell you what that is. The Anabaptist Church. Now, certain Anabaptists of the early 16th century believed that they couldn't have made fun of the Millers because the Millers were 2 centuries later. They believe that the millennium would occur in 1533. Ooh, that's really early. There's a great reason why that was wrong. Another source reports, quote, when the prophecy failed, the Anabaptists became more zealous and claimed that two witnesses, Enoch and Elijah, had come in the form of Jan Matthies and Jan Brockelson. Yeah. Sounds like great names for the two witnesses, Jan Matthies and Jan Brockelson. They would set up the New Jerusalem in Munster. Munster, wasn't that a television series in the 60s? No, apparently it's also a city in, where's it, Germany? Munster became a frightening dictatorship under Brockelson's control. Although all Lutherans and Catholics were expelled from that city, the millennium, Get this, the millennium, as predicted by the Anabaptists, never came. Well, I wonder why. Let's turn now to the Anglican Church, just because I'm a glutton for punishment here. In volume 2 of a stellar publication called The Prophetic Faith of Our Fathers, author Leroy Edwin Froom tells us about a prominent Anglican prelate who made a revelation prediction, a prediction about Revelation. Edwin Sandys, Archbishop of York and the Primate of England, that's the name, this was a title, a Primate of England, who was born in Lancashire. Sandys says, quote, now a primate yet. Well, this guy was very primitive and ape-like in his predictions. Sandys says, now as we know not the day and time, so let us be assured that this coming of the Lord is near. He is not slack as we do count slackness, that it is at hand. It may be probably gathered out of the scriptures in diverse places. The signs mentioned by Christ in the Gospels, which should be the foreshadows of this terrible day, are almost all fulfilled. Almost all fulfilled. And this was when? This was when? What year was this? It was in the 1500s. The 1500s. God must be extremely slack concerning his promises, or else these people don't know what the promises were. Assemblies of God Church during World War I. The Weekly Evangel, that's the name of an eminent paper, an official publication of the Assemblies of God, carried this prediction, and I quote, yes, we are not yet in the Armageddon struggle proper, but at its commencement, and it may be, if students of prophecy read the signs aright, that Christ will come before the present war closes and before Armageddon. The war preliminary to Armageddon, it seems, has commenced, that war being World War I. And so the Assemblies of God Church in the Weekly Evangel predicted that Armageddon would soon follow World War I. Other editors speculated that the end would come no later than 1934 or 1935. How embarrassing. I know exactly why this prediction did not take place. How about the Calvary Chapel? Yes, how about the Calvary Chapel? The founder of the Calvary Chapel system, Chuck Smith. It's a great name, Chuck Smith. If a man named Chuck Smith predicted the end of the world, the end of the eon as we know it, I would certainly pay attention. Chuck Smith published the book End Times in 1979. On the jacket of the book, Smith is called, quote, a well-known Bible scholar and prophecy teacher, unquote. Well, that certainly qualifies him. He's well-known. In the book, he wrote this. As we look at the world scene today, it would appear that the coming of the Lord is very, very close. Yet, we do not know when it will be. It could be that the Lord will wait for a time longer. If I understand Scripture correctly, Jesus taught us that the generation which sees the, quote, budding of the fig tree, the birth of the nation Israel, will be the generation that sees the Lord's return. Continuing to quote now, Chuck Smith, I believe that the generation of 1948 is the last generation. Since the generation of judgment is 40 years and the tribulation lasts 7 years, I believe the Lord could come back for his church any time before the tribulation starts, which would mean, according to Chuck Smith, any time before 1981. Here's his math, 1948 plus 40 minus 7 equals 1981. Chuck Smith continues, however, it is possible that Jesus is dating the beginning of the generation from 1967, when Jerusalem was again under Israeli control for the first time since 587 BC. We don't know for sure which year actually marks the beginning of the last generation. Why didn't he just say that at the beginning? We don't know for sure which year marks the beginning of the last generation. That would have been handy for the readers of the Calvary Chapel system. This same viewpoint, dating end-time prophecies based on a location of Israel, that is, the founding of the Israel nation, was published also by the popular pastor, Hal Lindsey, in his widely published book, The Late Great Planet Earth. I remember reading that book in the 80s. Loved that book. I read that book. It was exciting to me. I didn't put any bank on it. I mean, like, I was willing to for it not to happen, but it seemed exciting to think that it would be in the 80s, but, you know, I was too busy back in the 80s to be too concerned when the 80s ran their course and Jesus Christ had not yet returned. What was I doing in the 80s? Two transcontinental bicycle trips. I was working at Altman Hospital, putting catheters in men. I was taking care of patients there also at the hospital. I was pushing people into the morgue. That was exciting. I needed to continue doing that. That was my ministry at the time. I was beginning to read the scriptures in the 80s. And in 1986, I became acquainted with the evangel of the Apostle Paul. Now, the Lutheran Church, did they ever have predictions about the return of Christ? Oh, you can bet they did. I will regale you with this trouble now. The founder of the Lutheran Church was none other than the reformer Martin Luther. According to one authority, Luther ventured to predict, quote, try to talk like Luther here, for my part. Oh, he was a German guy. Talk like Adolf Hitler. Yeah, for my part. I'm not going to strain there. Luther ventured to predict, for my part, I am sure that the day of judgment is just around the corner. What year was that, Martin? Well, it had to be before 1546, because you died in 1546. To quote Martin again, quote, it doesn't matter that we don't know the precise day. Perhaps someone can figure it out, as he chugs down a flagon of beer. But it is certain that time is now at an end. End quote. Well, you know, in a way, he's correct, because time was at an end. The end times, you know, generally, this is true. It's the end times compared to the year 0000, because the year 0000 is the year of Adam and the creation of humanity, the beginning of God's revelation to us. And it would make sense to date things from the creation of Adam. I wonder if we can know how many years we are from Adam. You know we can. Back to the Lutheran Church, sorry. Another author says, quote, in all of Luther's work, there was a sense of urgency, for the time was short. You know, relatively that's true compared to 0000. Luther lived in 1546, actually lived in 1483. That's when he was born, 1483. So relatively speaking, even if Luther began predicting the end of the eon out of his mother's womb, began wailing about it, let's say, in 1483, he was still relatively right. The time was close compared to 0000. In all of Luther's work, there was a sense of urgency that the time was short. The world was heading for Armageddon in the war with the Turk. Apparently, there was a war with the Turk. Every time someone sees a war, they get excited. World War I, ooh, gonna be the end times. World War II, ooh, must be the end times. Well, you know something? The time of the end has nothing to do with, specifically now, any given war. It's true our Lord said there would be wars and rumors of wars, but that has pretty much been the case from the foundation, from the time old Cain gave Abel the switchblade. Yeah, there's always been wars and rumors of wars. It's nothing to do with the end times. It does and it doesn't. It does in that the Lord said that it would be prevalent. But there's something far greater, far more insistent than that, that is undeniable and that is secure and sure. And that's what I'm going to be talking about for the next few sessions here of the Revelation series. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, I am in a series on the Revelation, during the Revelation series, in as part of the Revelation series. This series is called The Final Years of Millennium 6. This title of the series is frightening in how great it is. I came up with this yesterday. It is so great because it's so real. It's so specific. The final years. I'm not claiming to know the final days. I'm not claiming to know a day. I'm not going to make a prediction of a date to you. I'm not a date setter. I will not set a date. I will propose a year to you and be based on something so solid, so sensible, and so obvious. Something that's so obvious to me. To me now. Because God wants people to know. Before I end this show tomorrow, I will regale you with more false, failed prophecies. But I will say this, that I'm not answering that much mail lately, and the reason is because I really have been needing to concentrate on this topic. This is a huge topic. This is a complex topic. In one way and another way, it's very simple. I'm going to give you the main points of when the kingdom that Israel has been longing for will come to earth. I don't know the day we're going to be snatched away. I'm pretty sure I know the latest it could possibly be. Again, I'm not going to set dates. But back to this thing now, I need to go really to concentrate. I need to get back to the days when it was just me and the Word of God. And so I've been cutting out some of my correspondence, and so I don't want anybody to feel bad about that. Many of you have sent me emails, and I have not responded. It's because I have had to turn away from the noise of communication, the noise of reaching out, and I need to go inward, and I've been going inward. I feel like I've been going into the Arabian desert. That's where I need to be. I need to be there in my mind, in my spirit. I need to be quiet. I've needed to really be quiet. I've needed to go back to a primitive era before I did this work, when it was just me and God and the Word, and that's what I'm doing. And so there's no offense to any of you, please, no offense meant to any of you if I don't respond. You're continuing to support this work, and I need that. Thank you. Thank you. Let this be a corporate thank you to all of you. If I don't get back with you soon to thank you for helping me do this, then it's no slight on you. I'm forced. Now, the Spirit of God is forcing me to go inward and to become contemplative and to focus on this and to get rid of outside noise. And I'm really trying to do that as much as I am able. And so I'm making changes in my life based on the truths I'm finding about the proximity of the end of Millennium 6. We're in Millennium 6. That's undeniable. Millennium 7, to me, undeniable, begins the Millennium of Peace on this earth. 1,000 years. Why is it 1,000 years? Yes, exactly. Exactly. Why is it 1,000 years? Why is that specifically mentioned? Why are the families of Adam detailed for us? The years that they lived. Who cares how long Seth lived? Who cares how long Methuselah lived? And yet, in Genesis chapter 5, the genealogies are painstakingly recalled for us. Who cares how long the regents, that is the kings of Israel, reigned? And yet these reigns are listed for us, one after the other. These are time bridges to bring us to the present time. God wants us to know. God gives us years. He gives us the time of the reigns of the kings of Israel and of Judah. Why does he do that? Why? Because he wants us to know. Because he's meticulous. Why the sun? Why the moon? Why months? Why years? Why 1,260 days? Why? Why? Why 1,000 years? Because God wants us to know. And if we don't know, we're idiots.